Let's freaking go. What if Lane Kiffin doesn't pick LSU? We don't know. We will be joined by one of the foremost SEC experts in all of college football here in just a moment. But I do want to talk about backup plans, because everything is Lane this and Lane that. And what I could tell you from speaking to all the powerful people I speak to on a daily basis, which is not a whole lot. I'm not that high on the college football totem pole. But basically, no one really knows what he's going to do. Okay, so obviously the only real news that came from today was Lane Kiffin went on the Pat McAfee show. There's rumors that this was a pre-recorded interview. I don't care. It happened, obviously, this morning. He put Kawan Lacy, his star running back, who has 19 rushing touchdowns. It would be very nice for us to have a rushing attack yet again, and Lane Kiffin would certainly provide that for LSU. But he went on this show and really didn't say anything. Part of it was probably Pat McAfee getting info from Lane's camp to say, look, don't ask about this. Don't ask about this. That was there wasn't a specific question asked about Florida. There wasn't a specific question asked about LSU. All of Pat's co-hosts asked Lane Kiffin some questions as well, and he's got at least 17 of them that join him every day, and they didn't say anything either. So obviously a good chunk of that is Lane probably telling Pat, hey, just don't ask me about this. What I can tell you is what people are probably trying to ask is, what is the purpose of Lane Kiffin doing an interview? Well, all publicity is good publicity. Lane could have come on here, honestly, and basically probably got the same thing out of it, which is LSU, Ole Miss, and Florida understanding that there is no finality to this at all. I will tell you that LSU definitely tuned in just to see if Lane Kiffin said, so long, suckers, we're staying in Oxford. I easily could have seen a hat reveal for Lane Kiffin to say, well, I'm staying in Oxford, or I'm going to Florida, or I'm going to LSU. So it's a very interesting dynamic, but my understanding is this. So we do have a super plugged in insider in our Discord. He's been sharing a bunch of nuggets that he's been hearing, not only from LSU, but compiling different reports. And basically the gist of it is this. LSU believes they are in a better spot than Florida to land Lane Kiffin. They feel that it's going to be either LSU or Ole Miss, and that it's not going to be the Florida Gators. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. Now, what I can also tell you is distance makes the heart grow fonder. At least that's what everyone says. I have never really believed in that. Long distance relationships are difficult. Obviously, there is a romantic tie to this with Lane Kiffin's daughter dating Whit Weeks. I do think Whit seriously considers coming back to LSU if Lane Kiffin is a coach. I would also say that I do think Whit Weeks is seriously considering coming back to LSU, period. Guarantee him the number 18 uniform. Guarantee him at least a milli to come back. Is your draft stock where you need it to be? So all of those things are in play here. But at the same time, we honestly just do not know what Lane Kiffin is going to do. What I always say, though, is the same thing we said in our emergency live stream yesterday. What is the simplest solution to this very complex problem? It's for Lane Kiffin to stay in Oxford. That is the simplest solution, all right? So there's rumors out there that people in Lane's camp are saying, look, Lane, you've maxed out at Ole Miss. You need to go get the Louisiana talent. You need to go to Florida and see what you could do there. You just need to go somewhere else. One thing that was very interesting, and we've already released our first Lane Kiffin film study from roughly an hour ago. And it's hard to cut these things when, you know, you're on the phone for a good bit of your day. But one interesting thing, all right, is that Lane Kiffin has been at Oxford with the Ole Miss Rebels since 2020. Now, that does not seem like that long of a time. But for Lane Kiffin, that's an eternity, knowing how he's bounced around from job to job. It's also just an eternity with where we are right now in this current SEC landscape. Think about everything that has happened in college football since 2020. Ed Orgeron has come and gone. Brian Kelly has come and gone. Sam Pittman has come and gone. He's been there for a while. And normally you don't get that in this world of college football. I did not think that Kalen DeBoer would ever leave Washington. Boom, Alabama. And when you look at the Washington job and you look at the LSU job and you look at the job that Lane Kiffin has done at Ole Miss, you can look at a jump from Washington to Alabama the same way you can look at a jump from Ole Miss to LSU. And the question that Lane Kiffin really needs to answer, can he truly envision a world where the Ole Miss Rebels are actually winning the national championship? And I also want to bring back, just in case Lane is watching, my chubby Bruno Mars ass talk about this coaching search. I would say this message to Lane Kiffin. I do not want you coming here unless you want to be here. Part of your reason for coming to LSU is that you need to want to be a part of what LSU actually is. Not you coming here as a vessel for you to take your next step in your personal journey to being a championship head coach. So look, you have even had national radio hosts such as Colin Cowherd, who I listen to quite a bit. I think you could sometimes see some of his influence in how I do sports media things. Colin thinks Lane Kiffin should jump to the NFL. This is something that he's been on for months now. So whatever he actually elects to do, I will support it. But I do want it to be LSU. I really do. I do think he is the number one candidate. But then you get into the next thing, which of course is price. One thing that's been a little interesting is that there aren't really any specific numbers that have been tossed around other than Lane Kiffin getting $14 million per year, which of course would make him higher than what Kirby Smart gets per season. And I have heard that is what is on the table from the Ole Miss side of things. And once again, that could totally just be way off kilter. But what I can tell you is Lane Kiffin is currently making $9 million a year. I do know that LSU's offer is aggressive. That is one word that has been sent to me, that this offer is indeed up there. So if you're an LSU fan, you need to worry. Is it worth it? Is it worth the actual job, the actual money to get to Lane Kiffin to come to LSU and potentially lead us to a college football playoff? What I would tell you, and I'm like the herd, I try to do as much prep as I can beforehand. The thumbnail image is of Eli Drinkowitz in an LSU visor. I think Eli Drinkowitz wins really big here at LSU. Not big, I think he wins really big. I'm also a big Josh Heupel guy. I think Josh and Tennessee is a little bit more rocky, for lack of a better term. But also, I do believe Eli would be the one a little bit more gung-ho to leave Missouri. I have heard and read that that relationship is something, even though Missouri is going through major renovations with their stadium. I'm big fans of both of them. So what I want you to do is take a listen to this before we get to some of your comments from an LSU legend as far as who he wants to be the next head coach at LSU?
Ideally, and you know, I'm going to get flagged, but I don't care. Ideally, it would be Lane Kiffin as my 1A, and my 1B would be Drinkwitz from Missouri.
Okay.
And I just hate bringing up names.
Sure, of course.
Of guys that are already at schools.
Of course.
Not that I got a lot of love for Ole Miss or Missouri. I could care less if they get mad. It's just, you know, I know sometimes certain people in the media, and I'm probably one of those guys, when I say something, it goes out over the diaspora, and then people got to ask questions, answer questions about diaspora. It.
I don't know what that word means. Marcus Spears is better in media, and he's better at football than I am. So those are his two top guys. I wanted to let Swaggy share his love for LSU to each and every one of you. And that was him on the Rich Eisen show a little bit earlier today. All right. We're going to get to all of your comments. Don't forget, we have a pretty fun guest coming up here in 15, Mr. Chris Phillips, who was just in Oxford not too long ago. Let's go to Pegasus. Sam Levitt, Kenny Dillingham, see you at LSU. Let's talk about this. So, Kenny Dillingham was my guess as to who I thought the next head coach would be at LSU. It would make a lot of sense for LSU for a lot of different reasons. Number one, Kenny Dillingham, while he has made a lot of money, he is not generationally wealthy yet. The same way that someone like Lane Kiffin is wealthy and some of these other names that we have mentioned. Now, he's made a lot of money. Kenny Dillingham is my age. And it also makes a lot of sense in terms of where Arizona State is in the current college football playoff picture. So, what do we know about Arizona State? Well, their best player is a wide receiver by the name of Jordan Tyson. He has been dealing with injuries. We also know they don't have Cam Scadaboo anymore. He's also dealing with injuries, but he's with the Giants. And then we get a pretty big bombshell report from earlier today regarding Sam Levitt. Now, I want you to come in a little bit closer. I saw someone comment yesterday that they do not like my mannerisms. They do not like when I get close to the camera and I get overly energetic. You guys got to let me know these things. I want to be the best I possibly can be because the information and insight is not as, well, it is more important than the actual entertainment, mannerism aspect of what I do. But I'm going to get a little bit closer to the camera here because people have been firing off their hot takes regarding Sam Levitt. Sam Levitt, it was reported earlier today by Pete Nakos that he is interested, his representation, in seeing what's out there for him as a college quarterback. Sam Levitt is not a big-time NFL draft prospect. Some of that is because of the injuries he has had. So with a lot of these quarterbacks that have these injuries, they want to stay in college so they can earn another $1 million. And they could also, of course, get more repetitions before they actually go to the NFL and start and hold a clipboard and all of those things, okay? Here's the truth. I would adore a Kenny Dillingham and Sam Levitt coached team next year. Obviously, the quarterback is the second most important piece to every college football program behind just the head coach. And for a caveat, it's just the current season's quarterback. Obviously, Levitt would come in and he's a better quarterback than Michael Van Buren. He would start right away. So I would be interested in what a package deal like that would look like. So when I gave that guess of Kenny Dillingham a few weeks ago, it was just a guess mixed in with a few different things I've read from Arizona State. And their side of things regarding where they are as a program, as far as funding, organizational structure, and all those different things. And Kenny Dillingham is a very driven individual who is really a big-time college football coach that might actually be bigger than Arizona State. One thing that you should factor in with Kenny Dillingham that is very admirable compared to someone like Eli Drinkwitz, who came in for Barry Odom, is that Barry Odom was not terrible at Missouri. Eli Drinkwitz stepped into a pretty decent situation at Missouri, whose previous coach, Gary Pinkle, had actually been to the SEC championship game a few times. What Kenny Dillingham had to clean up at Arizona State is a DEFCON gazillion level cleanup. And for me, that is impressive. Well, I understand. It is just the Big 12. It's not some SEC or Big 10, if you will. But he went to the playoffs, got a first round bye, and honestly should have won that game versus Texas. They had a 4th-and-13 that they choked away with a zero blitz and a perfect call from Steve Sarkisian. This is a big-time coach. So what's happened this year? Well, injuries. They don't have, obviously, when you lose Cam Scataboo, you lose a lot. Three, who's a converted receiver, actually is a really good running back. So that's not really been the issue. They lost a miracle game to Mississippi State. And they've had a respectable season, right? They had the thriller victory versus Texas Tech a few weeks ago. And Kenny has still done a good job coaching this team. So for me, you know, I would be fine with Kenny Dillingham. Let's go to legendary CEO. Good to see you. Keith says it will be Jimbo Fisher. And let's get to our first super chat. What's up, Cody? He works in Oxford every single day. Carter, these people are melting over Lane Kiffin possibly leaving. Go Tigers. So this is what Lane Kiffin seriously needs to consider about, you know, jumping from Ole Miss to LSU. Is that the program, the Ole Miss Rebels, is you. It's you. LSU is you, but it's also more than you. And that is the biggest difference between what he's doing at Ole Miss and what he would do at LSU, and honestly, to a certain extent, what he would do at Florida. One thing I would tell you about the Florida job in particular is that it simply does not have the allure that it used to have. And that's just based on what we've seen results-wise since Urban Meyer has left the program. Dan Mullen has been a fantastic coach at Florida, didn't want to recruit. And they went and got Billy Napier, and he was worse than Brian Kelly. Now, the difference is his buyout wasn't nearly as big as, you know, Brian Kelly's was, but Billy wasn't the worst, but he wasn't great. And honestly, when you pick apart the Florida program, yeah, three natties, it's really impressive. Urban doing what he did there is really impressive. Florida's talent is ridiculous on average. They'll probably have about three times as many four-star better prospects than the state of Louisiana. It's just you're competing against everybody in the state of Florida for those recruits and then some. And then with the Louisiana guys, you have a little bit more of a handle on it at LSU. I would also think that the Ole Miss job has more in common with the LSU job than the Florida job. And I'm not just saying that in terms of these two teams play each other every year. Okay. So, yes, Oxford melting down. I kind of like it. I was there not too long ago for a friend's wedding. I'm actually fine on Oxford. I do think I do need to experience the Grove again before I call it overrated again. But our guest here in a few weeks or a few minutes here, he's been to Oxford quite a bit this year. So he will tell you if he thinks the Grove truly is overrated, okay? Let's go to Alexander. He says, Sam Leavitt isn't that good. He reminds me of Matt Jones, the Arkansas quarterback, just a good athlete. Well, that's your opinion. I do think Sam Leavitt's good. I do. Okay. It's going to Amicat. Lane Kiffin hasn't ever won anything. John Gruden is a Super Bowl champion. Here's the thing that always drives me crazy over the, well, he hasn't won anything comments. This is it, and honestly, I want you to really think about this, okay? Most coaches haven't won anything before they come to a job. Nick Saban didn't win anything before he came to LSU. Les Miles didn't win anything before he came to LSU. Ed Orgeron sure as hell didn't win anything before he came to LSU. It's one of those things where you're just constantly in this spot of, well, he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything. Hey. Let's go to Julie. Do you think the fact that we are permanent opponents to Ole Miss would deter Kiffin from coming here? Yes and no. Obviously, it would sting more from an Ole Miss perspective if Lane goes to LSU over Ole Miss because of the Magnolia Bowl rivalry and the fact that we do play them every season. And, well, it also kind of sucks because from their perspective, they feel that they gave the LSU game away in 2024, and they did. They should have won that game, but they choked. And that game cost them the college football playoff. Oh, Cody follows up pretty hot. Let's go to Zach, a guy who knows a thing or two about airplanes. If LSU got used and abused by Kiffin and Sexton as a chess pawn, should we feel some type of way? Yes. Yes and no. What I will tell you, though, Zach, is agents use schools all the time. And honestly, one thing that really hurts all of sports right now is that there are so many powerful agents that have so many different clients that they control so much power and sway over what a team may or may not do. I think it's a little bit more prevalent in the NBA than it is in the NFL, but I do know, we were the victims of it this year, that there is a lot of it in college where coaches are represented by the same people that represent the players on their team. We had that on this year's team. And then, of course, you've seen that, you know, quite a bit in the NFL as well. You know, you would be shocked how many players are represented by, you know, the same people. Random. Jim Nance, the CBS broadcaster, also represents, his agent also represents Peyton Manning. That's not a conflict of interest. But, you know, there are so many powerful agents. You have Clutch, you have CAA at the higher levels, and then, of course, you have Sexton, Armstrong, and so on at this level. You know, I won't say who, but I learned a little bit more about a super agent who works a lot with players at the collegiate level getting ready to jump to the NFL level. So it's amazing. These agents are so powerful now that they're able to start getting selected or selective over which players and coaches that they want to represent. And players and coaches want to be represented by other people that have done it and are also associated with other powerful players and whatnot. So teams get played by Jimmy Sexton all the time. No other team has been played more than the Arkansas Razorbacks. We saw it happen today. James Franklin uses Arkansas. Arkansas honestly did court James Franklin He goes to Virginia Tech. He was going there the entire time. Arkansas got played by Jimmy Sexton during the Lane Kiffin debacle. He also got played, or he also played Arkansas because Sam Pittman dropped his agent, and he got Jimmy Sexton, and Jimmy put Arkansas's ass to the flame and said, look, you are going to give my client this amount, and they paid him, and Arkansas was tied to him for a longer period of time than they should have when Arkansas had all the leverage, right? Because this was after Sam Pittman's season where he won 8 games, beat James Franklin in the bowl game. And then, well, Jimmy Sexton went to Arkansas, and Arkansas should have said, hey, this is Sam freaking Pittman. We'll let him walk. You go do whatever the hell you want to do, Sam. Which school is really lining up to go hire Sam Pittman? Arkansas was going to do that when he changed representation. Okay? Let's go to Jamie first. She says, take on Kelvin Shepard. I think he's going to stay in the NFL. Let's go to Sourdough Man. I don't know if any NFL coaches have been successful in college, much less Super Bowl versus football championship. Nick Saban is a college coach. Now, what I want to do, whoever you are watching this right now, you need to have your opinion on this set in stone. Because I do not want this chat 5 years from now to have revisionist history on this topic that I'm about to espouse on, okay? Obviously, if you were to go get Lane Kiffin, you would need to fork over a good chunk of change, a lot of which would probably need to be guaranteed. So, you would be signing him to a similar contract to that of Brian Kelly. It probably wouldn't feature as much guaranteed money, buyout money, all of that mumbo jumbo. But are you of the opinion that LSU should do this again? I want you to keep in mind that, yes, I do think Lane Kiffin is the number one candidate. But at the same time, I would be lying to each and every one of you if I didn't say it concerns me that you are about to be on the books for a pretty big contract yet again. Okay, so no matter who you get, guess what? You're going to be on the books for some certain type of money, but at the same time, it's probably not going to be as expensive as what you would be locked in with Lane Kiffin. So whoever you are watching this right now, I understand it's not your money. We're not working against a proverbial salary cap here. But are you in favor of that? Because the thing that drove me crazy during the Scott Woodward debacle from last week is that a lot of you were saying Scott should have never done that after Jimbo Fisher. But I really did not see that comment from really any of you at the time when the deal was made. So right now in the chat, if you are of that opinion, let me know that LSU should not do this and they should go a far more avoidable route. Now, coming up next, a man who travels throughout the SEC more than anyone else. PHL Nation, it's time to lock in and get serious really quickly with our friends at Fortified Gulf Coast and FortifiedGulf.com. This is my buddy, Ramey. He is one of many Fortified Gulf Coast inspection professionals that are doing something to help you not only save your home, but your memories.
The Fortified program got started about 13 years ago. We adopted it here in New Orleans about 2.5 years ago. It's a more advanced way of doing the roof. It adds an extra layer of protection, whereas even if a hurricane was to pull the shingles off this roof, water will still not get into the house.
So yes, your establishment is important, but what about the things you can't replace? That family scrapbook or that painting that's been handed down from Meemaw to Papaw and to you. It is important to protect that today with Fortified Roofing. And while this seems like a priceless asset, did you know it can actually save you on your homeowner's insurance up to 37% if you are in South Louisiana? Just call the number 504-444-7563. That's... Are you missing that sweet swing? If pain is holding your golf game back, you must check out the full simulator at the Lafayette location of LaBorde Therapy Center. Yes, Chase and his team built this simulator to go along with a full set of programs catered to your needs. Yes, this entire team at LaBorde Therapy worked hard to fix that back. Your elbow, shoulders, wrists, knees, toes, it doesn't matter. At their Lafayette location, 337-981-4053. Call today. But what if you don't golf? And what if you don't live in Lafayette? No problem. They fix anything therapy related. Book today, LaboreTherapy.com, with locations in Cairncrow, Youngsville, Morgan City, and Crowley. LaboreTherapy.com. L-A-B-O-R-D-E therapy.com. Let's go.
Speaking of golf game, is there anyone in the SEC that is better at swinging the club?
Baton Rouge Country Club.
Chris Phillips, who was just at the BR Country Club. Chris, how was your journey?
Dude, it was awesome, man. Yeah, I've been trying to do my best this football season, man. Typically I put the clubs up for the season, and I just coming into this fall, man, I was like, I don't want to do that. You know, I want to keep the game going. So been fortunate enough, first really 10 or 11 weeks, pretty much played every single week. So the day before that, you know, we played out at U Club with our good friend Mikey Matuk and and those guys. So that was a lot of fun. That's probably the hardest course I played the entire fall. U Club was a beast. A lot of fun. Loved it. It was a beast. Yeah, I've been playing a lot of golf, man. It's been a lot of fun. Now we've kind of shifted it a little bit. We've downshifted a bit. It's gotten a little colder. I've had some troubles finding people who want to play the last few weeks. So, you know, it is what it is, but we had a good run. So we'll probably, it's about to be ski season now for your boys. So we'll get into the end of the football season. And then I typically, after the regular season concludes, I kind of give myself a gift for a job well done with a week-long ski trip between SEC title and the playoffs. So that's already on the books for me. I'm excited for it. But yeah, excited to be here with you, man. It's been a good season.
What should Lane Kiffin do?
Oh, what should he do? That's such a good question. What I think he should do, if I was, because it's so hard to advise him, right? Because it's his decision and there's so many factors. I think he probably should stay at Ole Miss, to be honest. I do. Like, here's the thing. It's either going to be the best decision he ever made or the worst decision he ever made, whether he goes to LSU or Florida. I don't know that there's going to be a whole lot of in between. And it's like, I had David Pollock on last week, and I thought he put it really well. I hope, like, Lane Kiffin has found, as far as we know, he has found happy in Oxford. Like, he's fixed his image. Now he's that fun, just kind of like all over the place. Ha ha. But it's like, kind of cute in a way. Like, he has really repaired his image nationally. He's no longer, he's the villain, but he's like the lovable villain. He's like a Disney villain, right? Like, I just hope in his search for whatever it is he's looking for, or whether it's like a lack of, he can't sit still too long in one spot, or maybe he believes the ceiling is higher in Baton Rouge or Gainesville. I hope he doesn't lose happiness on the pursuit of more of it, if that makes sense. And like, and he very well may not. He may go to LSU or Florida and win titles. And it's like, again, it's the best decision he ever made. But if that doesn't happen, and if he doesn't handle this exit the right way, it could be the worst decision ever made. He just essentially burns down his Ole Miss legacy. The safe play is to stay where he is. And here's the thing. Like, again, we say, like, he should make the move because they can't win the big one. That the ceiling's not as high. Long term, that's right. But, I mean, he's actively doing what people say he can't do there. They're on the verge of going 11-1. They were very close to being in the SEC title game. Obviously, that one game against Georgia that cost them. But, I mean, you know, home playoff game potentially on the line. Like, you're probably in a pretty favorable matchup in that one. Like, there's a chance you get to, what would it be, I guess the quarters or the semis or whatever that round would be, the next round. Like, you're already starting to do things they said you couldn't do at Ole Miss. So, like, again, that is the 30,000 foot. I am not in the room with any of them. I am, you know what I mean? Like, it's hard to say what he should do because I'm not in his shoes. I don't know what's important to him. I don't know if legacy is most important, family is most important, getting a ring, which would go hand in hand with legacy. Is that the most important? But if you're looking for the safe play, you know, he's the one out there posting these quotes. Where's the grass greenest? Where you water it?
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? So it's like, it feels like a guarantee. If he went to LSU, it'd be a home run and they'd win a bunch of ball games. If he went to Florida, same thing. But it's not. It's not a guarantee, you know? So he has found his sweet spot. And I just, you know, it's a risk. It's a risk either way. It'll be a risk for LSU and Florida too, but yeah, if I was advising him, I'd tell him to stay. But I tell you, man, the more this goes on, I'd be really surprised if he's back in Oxford. He's not moving like a guy that's going to be back. Unless, and that's what's so fascinating here, Carter, unless he's just trolling all of us. Because there's a part of me that's like, okay. At one point, Florida AD Scott Strickland said he would never hire Lane Kiffin. He wouldn't even have him on his list of candidates. That's obviously changed. But that was a thing at one point. LSU, obviously, he did not get the job in 21. I think he was – you probably know a lot more than I do, but he was passed over. BK gets hired. Like, what if he's trying to just stick it to both of them and he's trolling them and he's going to go back to West? I don't know. I don't know. I'm telling you this, Carter. This is – I've never been on the phone as much as I was today.
And who are you talking
about? Calls about this, about Lane Kiffin and people that I trust and from the Florida side, from the Ole Miss side, from the LSU side, some folks from the LSU side that I know you and I both know really, really well, hint, hint, but like just conversation after conversation after conversation after this, after that, after this factor, after this that they've heard or this.
What are some of the specific things you were sharing with some of the Ole Miss and Florida things, if you can expound?
Well, Ole Miss, they are less.
And before you answer this, to make sure people don't think you're just making this up, you just did a stadium show in Oxford. So you know people there, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, dude, we did a great show at the library, which is, I mean, I'd say the biggest, baddest bar in Oxford, and it was really – dude, that weekend was cool, man. Like, I mean, we feel the hospitality everywhere we go. That's the coolest part about the tour is that, you know, people in Baton Rouge, people in Oxford, people in Athens, people in Austin, and just et cetera, all of them, they don't have to show the hospitality they show, but they reach out. They want to – you know, they really want to show us the best side of the cities and make sure we have a good time. So, you know, I'm really grateful for it. But it started on Friday, or really before Friday. I had somebody reach out, Built Different Fitness. Shout out to them in Oxford, but these – a husband and wife that own a gym, and they invited me to come work out Friday. So I got in town early in Oxford on Friday, got a workout in, talked with them. I actually met a guy at the gym that is the owner of a business on the square called the Velvet Ditch, which if you haven't been, I highly suggest you go. All the folks in this chat will love the menu. I had the fried catfish with grits and crawfish etouffee smothered. Dude, I'm telling you, with the daiquiri, they were trying to copy Louisiana.
I walked by that place when I was there.
Dude, it was phenomenal. I think he said during the spring they ship out 100,000 pounds of crawfish a week. So
that's crazy. So
putting up some numbers.
What did these people?
Yeah, so getting to that, yeah. So the owner of the Velvet Ditch, I talked to him, and essentially, you know, per him, he's pretty tight with Lane Kiffin, knows him pretty well, and I got a text from him Saturday morning that said, which this is so funny. Friday, I get a text from a Florida buddy of mine that I trust. Hey, man, the deal's done. He's a Gator. Saturday morning, I get this text from my Ole Miss guy that I met. Again, this is not just some Joe from the message board, all due respect. Somebody that I feel like is going to be in the know. Hey, man, $13.4 million. Deal is done. Lane's going to come back to Ole Miss. So within less than 24 hours, both are telling me it's over. Then we get in a Sunday, obviously. And, like, I'm not even thinking about LSU. I'm like, man, LSU's just kind of, you know, they're kind of out of this picture. Like, it's either Ole Miss or it's Florida. It's Ole Miss or it's Florida. But obviously Sunday, LSU's like, hey, we're coming a little bit late. We got the invite to the party. We're just a little casually late, you know, so they kind of jump into it. And then, you know, going into yesterday and today, you know, the things I'm hearing, and I'm sure you've heard the same, the offer that LSU is going to make him or probably already has made him is, I'll put it to you this way. If he turns it down, he's turning down probably the best offer on the table as far as just a financial compensation package, an NIL compensation, revenue sharing, a resource perspective. I mean, I'm sure, again, you've heard this as well, that from what I've been told, LSU's prepared to make him the highest paid coach in college football. Which I guess shouldn't come to a shock to any of us, but yeah, that's out there. So, you know, again, this extends into the conversations today with, I think Florida feels good more so from the perspective of the ex-wife and the connection to Florida because of her, with her father playing with Steve Spurrier, and, you know, I guess kind of Lane being around that, and maybe some of his personality kind of fits this whole Florida thing, and him looking up to a Steve Spurrier. And I've been told Spurrier's called Lane Kiffin, trying to, you know, essentially recruit him to Gainesville. I would give good money, Carter, to see Lane Kiffin's call log. It has to be the craziest. I can't even imagine all the people that have called him. So I heard that earlier today. I mean, I heard that, you know, and I think Florida and LSU are in a similar boat where it's like, what's plan B? They're like, right, there's no plan B right now. It's Lane Kiffin, Lane Kiffin, Lane Kiffin. That's the top three candidates. And for Florida, I know that for a fact. I mean, I think Ole Miss is just kind of holding on for dear life. I mean, you know, if he comes back to Oxford, it's not going to be because he's going to get paid wherever he goes, but it won't be the best compensation package. It won't be as much NIL as I think either Florida or LSU can offer, but they're probably going to sell, hey, the familiarity. Again, you've planted your roots here. Like, you're happy here. You've done a documentary here. You've fixed your image here. You're winning here. Three straight 10-win season. That's nothing to turn your nose up, man. I don't care where you are. And here's the thing, too. I think the thing you can sell to Lane if you're Ole Miss. Listen, man, you can go to LSU and win a ring, and you'll be known as a legend, but you're just another coach that won a national title at LSU. You're not Nick Saban. I don't know if you're going to be Les Miles or Ed Orgeron. I don't know. I don't know how many you're going to win. You're just another guy that won a title there. If you go to Florida, you sure as shit ain't getting your name on the stadium. You're not replacing Steve Spurrier, right? So you're not, you're like, you could be another guy that won a title there, but you're at Ole Miss, you can be the guy. You're the guy. It could be Lane Kiffin Field at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. But you may not win a ring. That's the thing. So, like, I would imagine, you know, Carter, as we get older, right, wrong, or indifferent, legacy starts mattering to us more and more. I think we start thinking about more and more like the way we'll be remembered, and that's important to us, right, wrong, or indifferent. So I wonder, like, what is important to Lane? I just – that's the question I don't think many of us can answer. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, every time I get a call, Florida's super, super confident. I think LSU's confident in what they are presenting to him. I mean, your guess is as good as mine. It's going to come down to, I think, just where does he feel most comfortable? What's important to him in his next job, in his next chapter of life, his next venture? I'm sure family will play some part in it.
His son, who's a quarterback recruit.
Yeah, family will play a part in it, no doubt. I've been told by people in Oxford that apparently, and LSU people will love this, so he and Landry are really close, and that she has influence on him a little bit. And we all know who Landry's dating, right? Whit Weeks. I actually saw Landry, funny enough, at the Bama-LSU game in Tuscaloosa in the section I was in. How much of an influence could she possibly have on it? I mean, I don't think that's why he's going to take the job, but, like, I think he's going to hear out family and what they want to do. It's just it all comes down to what's important to him. Again, is winning a ring the most important thing? Is getting your name on the stadium the most important? A statue, is that the most important thing? So, but I think we're going to get a decision sooner rather than later, man. I know the whole ultimatum or decision date thing or whatever's, which I've been told that was a Jimmy Sexton ploy the whole time. I don't even know if that's an Ole Miss thing at this point. But I've got to think going into next week, we're going to know. I don't think this drags beyond like Monday.
Really?
And that's just my gut. I could be totally wrong. No,
you're not the only one. I mean, most – because I know you don't make your hay as an insider. This isn't
what you do. That's what's so funny for me over the last couple – like 48, 72 hours. Like, you're right. I'm not an insider. But it's been kind of fun being somewhat on the inside. We've been hearing a lot, man. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, this isn't what you want to do, right? You want to be the SEC experience.
Yeah,
guy.
I'm the opinion guy. I don't hide that. I'm the big opinion guy, but it is. I'm grateful that there are people that want to tell me things.
Yeah,
it's nice to have context and be in the know a little bit. So
yeah, and once again, that wasn't an insult. It's just
none taken. I would agree with you. Yeah,
yeah. It's one of those things where, Chris, I keep going back to what is the simplest thing, and that is just to stay at Ole Miss, because this is a very complex problem. And, you know, as I've thought about it more, as confident as, you know, one thing I was relayed to me is how much Layla, who's the daughter, by the way, just to make sure, because there are so many different names. Layla likes LSU. She likes Baton Rouge and all of it. And, you know, once again, a romantic interest does play a lot into that, but, you know, you're right. She does have a lot of influence. You could see it. I didn't watch a full documentary, but anyone that actually did, they relayed that at how much influence she has on this man. So let's say LSU does not get Lane Kiffin. What should they do?
Well, from what I've been told, nobody wants Eli Drinkwitz. So it's funny. The idea of Eli is a good one. I think he's a heck of a coach. I don't know how much of a fit he is there, which that Carter is something really interesting, right? Because
and actually, hold on, I messed up a minute ago. Landry's
no, you're good.
Daughter. Landry's the daughter.
Yes. Layla.
Excuse me. My apologies. But
no, you're good. You're good.
Yes.
You know, again, the names I've heard, Eli Drinkwitz, Brohm over at Louisville, who I don't think is going to leave there. I mean, I think LSU wants to swing big. God forbid, did they ask Dan Lanning how happy he is in Oregon? I know it sounds outlandish, but LSU's the kind of job that I think everyone listens. I don't care who you at least take the call. That mean you're going, but you take the call. LSU's one of those jobs. You know, it'd be like if Ohio State called, if Alabama called. You listen. So, man, I mean, beyond it, here's the thing, man. I think it'd be more detrimental if LSU doesn't get Lane than if Florida doesn't get Lane. And the reason I say that, you know as well as I do, Carter, and I've had a good laugh at it or with it, and I love the state of Louisiana, but you know, man, the Jeff Landry stuff, we will not go down a failed path. I've probably watched that 1,000 times. That's like one of the funniest clips I've ever seen. But even I was like, you know who's not laughing? Our friends in Louisiana aren't laughing. They don't think this is very funny. Like, they don't think, so I didn't mean to insult anyone, but it was like, this feels like a skit from Saturday Night Live. But so much of like the future in that state depends on getting Lane Kiffin. I mean, I think all the sins of or what the madness of the Jeff Landry thing and the BK buyout stuff and all that is forgotten, forgiven, whatever, if you get Lane Kiffin, if it results in that. If you don't, I mean, you tell me, man. I mean, I know the politics in Louisiana, and I'm not trying to get into politics, but I just know that side of it's wild. It's I mean, look how involved it is in this search. you know, in the next head football coach at LSU. As far as the next head coach, I mean, it's so tough because, like, I love the state of Louisiana. There's nothing – I tell people there's nothing like it. The culture is so unique and it's so strong, and it's one of those things where I would say there's nothing – there's no greater honor than being embraced by folks from the state of Louisiana because they don't embrace everybody. But that is probably one of the biggest gifts and one of the biggest curses of that place, because I think the fit matters. Like, I think you don't have to be from Louisiana. Nick Saban wasn't from there. Les Miles wasn't. But somebody who's built for that place, you know, who's really built for it. Brian Kelly was not built for it. He didn't embrace it the way I think he needed to. And, I mean, that's coming from accounts from, you know, you and people I've talked to, people I've listened to. Like, he wasn't out there the way he needed to be. So it's not as simple as, like, okay, you're a good X's and O's coach, you can coach here. It takes a little more than that. So, you know, I don't think they're going to go like the John Summerall route. I you know, you tell me, Carter. I think the ego of LSU is way too high to go hire the Tulane guy. Right, wrong, or indifferent, I just don't see it. Dude, I don't know. I mean, I heard, and Tennessee fans love this, I floated the name out there, Josh Heupel, that apparently there was some speculation that he might listen to what LSU has to say, and there's some belief out there that maybe he would entertain the idea of leaving. Again, that is all there's some validity to it, I think, but I'm not saying he's leaving. So Tennessee fans had a conniption last week. They thought I was saying he's heading LSU. He's also way down the list for them. But, yeah, I mean, dude, after Lane, I mean, I don't know that there's, like, an easy answer here. I mean, do you, I'm going to ask you, like, we'll turn this back on you. What is, like, the short list of guys after Lane?
Yeah, I'm really high on Eli Drinkwitz.
I think he's a great coach.
Yeah.
I do. I mean, you tell me. Do you think they'd embrace him down there?
Yes.
Okay.
I also think he is – a driven individual who's wired very differently.
Oh, he's very quirky. I mean, he definitely fits the mold of that. Very quirky guy.
And in many ways, you would get some of the Kiffin-isms, not as much on Twitter or as frequent on Twitter, but just in some of his quotes and all of that. He's a guy that actually loves the art of recruiting. He likes that aspect. You normally don't get that from an X's and O's guru kind of guy, but I mean, I remember the Williams Wingeri thing when the dude like jumped higher than Michael Jordan in his happiness in landing that. I do like him a whole hell of a lot, and I do think he would do big things at LSU. I do think, like you said a minute ago, there are plenty of people out there that at least raise their eyebrows if LSU comes calling. I cover Tennessee pretty closely. I've never been to Knoxville. I know you have. It is just, to me, an awesome job, but I have heard that there is some discomfort with Heupel and Tennessee. So I would definitely be open for Josh Heupel. So this is what I want to get to, because you do cover the entire Southeastern Conference, and most of my job right now is to look just at, you know, coaching searches and all of that. Which SEC school has the best chance of winning a national championship?
I mean, right now, I think you've got to say Georgia with the way they're playing. Will they be like last year's Ohio State and really kick it into another gear, getting into the playoff? We'll see. I mean, 2 weeks ago, maybe even last week before the South Carolina game, I would have told you, I think Georgia and Texas A&M can both win it all. I do think Texas A&M can win it all. I know they had the South Carolina game, which was ugly. They had to come back. But, I mean, Carter, if you're going to go undefeated in this conference and you're going to go undefeated, period, you're probably going to have a weird game that you just have to overcome and find a way to win, and it's going to be sloppy and it's going to be ugly and you're not going to play your best. I mean, you just – the league's too good. You're not going to go through this thing just beating up – I mean, they're not a generationally great football team, right? We're not talking about 2019. Even 2019 LSU, right, had their trials and tribulations and things they had to – you know, they weren't perfect all year, right?
Well, I mean, they have one close call, but
right. You get what I'm saying, though.
But I get your point.
You have to get through that game. Typically, you have a game at least. I just think with those two teams, the reason I don't say Bama, I think they're one-dimensional offensively. I think that's going to come back to bite you when you're trying to win a national title. Ole Miss, I don't think, has the defense.
No.
Vandy, if they make it, realistically, doesn't have the top-end talent. Tennessee's out of it. Oklahoma, if they make it, I don't think they quite have the offense. They're not going to be able to force three or four turnovers a game.
Dude, these games that they're winning are crazy.
Yeah, and like we talked, you know, they've got Mizzou this weekend, and I think they win. You don't want to call the way they're winning smoke and mirrors, because that really is just discrediting everything they've done. But again, I'm curious even this weekend. What if the turnover margin's even? Then what? You know, then what? I mean, what happens when you're not getting a pick six? What happens when you're not getting the fumble on the punt? What happens when you're not getting, you know, multiple turnovers off a guy? I think Bama and Georgia are both complete. I think they are both, they can do it all. You know, they have the fewest deficiencies in the league. Georgia's really turned it on, got better week to week. Gunnar Stockton's just playing at an elite level. I mean, Georgia offensively, again, pick your poison. They found their running game. They're deep at running back. They're four deep at tight end. They're good at receiver. They're not great at receiver, but Zachariah Branch is a difference maker, and then they're solid behind him.
I can't quit watching Branch. And
he's a freak, yeah.
I will also say Kirby is just so far and away the best coach in this conference. Like, it's just crazy how good of a coaching job this has been. The onside kick is just like, God, dude.
He's a mad scientist, man. I know a guy very closely that I actually went to the LSU-Bama game with in Tuscaloosa that used to work on his staff. And I went with him to the game, and we've talked a lot about Kirby. He's like, Chris, he's the smartest human being I've ever been around. He's a genius. And he's obviously a relentless worker, and they've got an identity and they all believe in it. And he's throwing shots out after the game about, you know, some guys are going to get a check. You know, that's all they're doing. Like, we hit it our place. We hit it our place. You know, that was a direct shot at them, at Texas. There was a kid that chose Texas over Georgia that I think went for the bag. And, you know, so Kirby doing a little needling, but
yeah,
I'd go Georgia and A&M.
The schedule comment was like, well, what the hell is he talking about?
Yeah.
But I was like, that's what I need. I need someone that doesn't make sense. Jordan wants you to.
I figured, Carter, this comment wasn't directed to you, respectfully. Yeah, I've really got the lettuce going right now, so maybe I'll throw some product in. Maybe.
Yeah, that is so funny. Jordan's a really good friend of mine. He's a fan of yours as well.
I appreciate it, brother.
SEC Unfiltered is where you could find them. So you go to a new place, a new spot every week. All right. So what's on the agenda now? You've already been to Baton Rouge, and you know, it is what it is. But
did you see the tweet that was sent to me yesterday that I like posted on our Instagram? If Lane goes to LSU, and I could argue this is already a thing, but like the Chris Phillips SEC Unfiltered LSU voodoo is very real.
Okay, so walk us through it.
You think about going back to last year. First ever trip to Baton Rouge ever was LSU Ole Miss. Overtime win, rush the field, enough said. Fast forward to this spring, we head to Alex Box. First Alex Box experience, first ever Alex Box game. LSU-Tennessee Friday night, they're down 3-1. Bear Jones walk off bottom of the ninth inning.
Oh yeah,
you were ever game at the Box, and they end up taking that series. I think they took two out of three because they lost Saturday. Took two out of three. This football season, hang with me here now. Hang with me. Go to Baton Rouge for LSU A&M. That was the one I had circled all preseason. LSU gets stomped. Stomped, right? In turn, that's the game they fire Brian Kelly. Then go to Oxford this past weekend, leave Oxford, LSU gets into this thing, and he very well now may be going to LSU. And I didn't even count the Omaha run, which our friend Trent highlighted. So, yeah, it's been pretty, you know, that, I don't know, man. You go down to the Bayou once and it just sticks with you. I think that that first bite of Pie Ranch changed me for life. I don't know what happened, but there's some voodoo and we got some voodoo on us when it comes to LSU. But this weekend, man, going to Austin, Texas, Texas, Arkansas. I mean, you know, the game will be, could be really interesting. I'm curious to see how Texas responds. And I know Arkansas hates Texas, that, you know, old kind of old school rivalry, at least in their eyes.
Yeah.
You know, either way, Austin's one of those places that you got to make a visit every year. It's just such a fun, fun city, man. And such a good time. I'll tell you now and your listeners, and we'll announce this next week, but I am, we're set to do something next weekend that I've never done before on the tour. And that is go to two games in one weekend.
Oh, you're doing different
spots. So again, this will be coming out Sunday, but I like to drop these nuggets when I do stuff like this or whatever.
Oh, so not this weekend, the next week.
Not this one. This one's Texas, Arkansas. Rivalry weekend, Friday, which this is perfect with what's going on. Because Friday, we're going to go to the Egg Bowl.
Yes.
Will Lane Kiffin be at the Egg Bowl? I don't know.
I don't know.
But we're going to go to the Egg Bowl. I've never been to Starkville, my first ever trip. And then we're going to head out from Starkville after the game, 11 a.m. kick on Friday. Drive over to Auburn, Alabama, and take in the Iron Bowl Saturday night. So back-to-back, I mean, an incredible way to close out the regular season, well, man.
And those are the best rivalries in the SEC by far.
And again, I've been to Auburn once, but it was last year. It was Auburn, Arkansas, and Auburn lost, and it was a day game. And so, like, I was like, I gotta get the Jordan Hare experience. And now
the Jordan Hare, you got to say it right.
Got to say, listen, when I went there and said Jordan, they cussed me out. It's Jordan Hare, but. I mean, dude, Bama coming in, playoff hopes on the line. My Bama buddies are terrified. They're like, Chris, it is a haunted venue for the Crimson Tide. So I love the dramatics. I love the toxicity. I can't wait to see it. But no, Austin this weekend is going to be a blast, man. It's like I said, it's been an incredible season. It's one of those things.
How many times have you been to Austin?
This will only be my second. Yeah, last year was my first time. And again, even last year, I went to Texas, Kentucky. Like, this is a better game than that was. But it's just, you know, man, we've got a really big Texas following. And those Texas folks are really good to us. And, Austin is just a blast. I mean, it's that place would be fun to go to just at baseline. You don't even need a football game.
So we'll have
a really good time.
But I also know you like baseball arguably more than you like football.
It's T1 for me. T1.
Right. Yeah. Because you have a huge.
I love it in a different way. I played it, you know, at college. Right. So it's a different, hits a little different. So
and I don't care if I ever interview this young man or this old man. Tell Schloss what he did to A&M is the most backstabbing BS I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
I hate, and I'm not even an A&M fan. I hate A&M more than I hate Texas, but that is still the most diabolical thing I could ever imagine any human being doing.
Well, it was funny, man, because I saw him at the SEC tournament in Hoover this past spring, summer, whatever. And it's funny because, like, you know, this happened, what, July of 2024?
Right.
And I mean, July or late June, whatever. When it happened, though, dude, I mean, I ripped into him. I had some very choice words about the decision and like the way he handled it. And so it's what, 9 months later, and I'm in Hoover, and we're on the field before the game when Texas was playing Tennessee. We're just outside Texas's dugout, and I see Schloss walk up, and in the back of my mind, I'm like, God, I wonder if he remembers all those things I said. Or if he saw it even. Yeah. And he either didn't see it or didn't care or didn't remember. I mean, he caught it 1,000 times worse from others than he probably did from me. But I actually talked to him and he was cool. Gave me some really good insight on the team, which led me to pick UTSA to beat them in the regionals. And sure enough, UTSA beat them in the regionals.
They did.
I picked that. People thought I was a madman. And I'm like, dude, I talked to Schloss and I was like, hey, coach, congrats on the season. Like, you know, really happy for y'all. He's like, yeah, man, appreciate it. You know, it's crazy because we're really not even that good.
Wait, like, he said that to you?
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, dude, y'all, in my head, I'm like, y'all won the league. And because they finished first in the league. But he said, you know, we're really not that good, man. He's like, you know, we've just kind of found a way to scrap it out. And, you know, we've had a couple guys step up, but, you know, we're really not that good. And I'm like, he's either sandbagging me or he's just being brutally honest.
What? Did you think he was being honest or was he?
I honestly, and I know this sounds contradictory to what you'd think of Schloss, but in that moment I was like, I don't think he'd BS me here.
It's kind of strange.
I don't know if I'd label Schloss as like the most honest dude in the world by any stretch.
Yeah.
Certainly not. But in that private conversation, which I don't, again, no big deal now. It's way past the fact and no big deal to like just say it. He was right. He was right. They were a flawed team. They lost Jared Spencer, their top starter, and I think he just knew. They were scrapping out ways to win, but they were not the team they were earlier in the season, and it showed. But
And look, I'm no Aaron Fitt or Blake Ruffino when it comes to baseball coverage. I'm not you either. That's so bizarre to me that he would say that to you. It's so like I can understand if y'all had been super close for a long time.
Yeah, I just met him.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, I'm pretty tight with a couple assistants on his staff. Payne, who you probably are familiar with.
Yeah, big number 39. I remember Nolan
Payne. I'm tight with Nolan. Matt Wiener, the pitching coach. Really good. They've got a really awesome staff, awesome group of guys. So I don't know if maybe, you know, because he even told us, hey, we appreciate what you guys do. So he was familiar with us, obviously. But, yeah, he was just very blunt. And, I mean, I appreciate that. I mean, I never went out publicly and was like, Jim Schlossnagel just told me that they stink. Like I never went out and said that. Not an insider, but you use that context.
Right.
I picked the regional. Yeah. I was like, you know, I've just got kind of a feeling that I don't know, man. Like something tells me this upset could happen. And sure enough, it did. So
and in your defense as well, there were a lot of like really sharp baseball folks that were pointing out that. And you are one of them, but just in like others were saying, hey, they didn't really play anyone difficult on the road. And then they played Arkansas and they got wiped or something like that. I'm not as smart in baseball, obviously, as you.
Yeah. You know, you're right. You're right. No, the scheduling kind of just like football worked out for them pretty well, but
right. Yeah,
baseball season, man. We'll be pumped for him. We obviously cover basketball too. And I tell people like, I like basketball a lot. It's just really tough right now because, you know, like Kentucky's playing Michigan State right now, but it's so hard to like get really invested in a basketball. We're in the heat of this football stuff. And I mean, heck, man, I'll post basketball stuff on the timeline and some people will comment and be like, hey man, it's football season. Okay. All right. So, you know, we'll dive deeper into it. Obviously January, we get to conference play, but you know, like Alex Box, for example, I was saying like Austin's always a must visit during football. Well, you know, Baton Rouge, Alex Box, that's a must visit during baseball. And I'm excited
You called it what?
Alex Box.
All right. I'm gonna let the chat. It's a Jordan Hare kind of thing. I believe it's Alec Box.
Alec Box. Okay.
Cause there are far better stitch heads. And I say that with a bunch of Dylan Cruz autograph stuff right over here. But it's not as bad as the Jordan Hare folks. The Jordan Hare folks will will strangulate you if you don't get it right. So yeah, Chad, so Chance is telling me that it is. Chance would know. He's the biggest LSU baseball fan out there. So okay. There you go. I'm glad we just talked about
I never knew that.
Yes. Okay.
I'm going to get on Blake. How did Blake not tell me?
Because it's Jordan and Jordan is a lot different than Alex and Alec. It's different.
It's like closer, you mean?
It's right. It's closer. Like, you okay. Wouldn't be and there are still LSU fans just aren't as anal about it as because that happened to me when I went to the 2010 Cam Newton game.
Right.
So
yeah, you say Jordan Hare on a video.
No, Jordan.
Yeah, those people will get you. They will get you. but anyways, the box will be a must visit every season. I'm excited too because you know I live in Nashville now, and LSU is playing at Vandy, so I will 1,000% be at that series watching. And also too, we're planning on, you know, spoiler, but we're planning on going back to Jacksonville for the Jacksonville Baseball Classic. LSU's in that, so.
Oh hell yeah!
I can't stop following the Tigers, man. I get accused of being a closet LSU fan, so I fear those accusations won't be going away anytime soon. So
well, yeah, we got a bunch of mutual friends. You're a big friend of Rufino. Blake's my best buddy doing this,
yeah.
And then we're friends with Daily Joy. She's a big she's a big friend of mine, and I might go to this Nashville trip just to meet you.
Dude, come on with it, man. You got a place to crash if you need it. Yeah, dude.
Yeah, awesome. I wanted to go to LSU Vandy earlier this year, but I couldn't with some play-by-play obligations and all of that. Chris, I appreciate your coverage, but I also appreciate your sweat equity you put into this, right? It's hard as hell to travel to all these places. Austin's a little bit easier because there's airports and stuff like that. But there's no easy way to get to some of these schools. Okay. You gotta really fill those tanks, rental cars, all of that. I appreciate what you do for SEC coverage. And if you ever need anything from me, let me know. And we'll talk soon. Okay, buddy.
Dude, I appreciate it, Carter. You're the very best. You and your audience, man. Thank you so much. Excited to see you and excited to see what happens over the next, I don't know, 48, 72 hours. I'll be curious to see y'all's coverage if and when that news drops.
It's going down, man. All right, buddy. We'll talk soon.
All right, man. Sounds good. Peace.
I will take a few more. I got to go on Blake's show a little bit later for my weekly 7:35 appearance on AYS. So we'll get to a few more here. So please, if you guys can correct me, once again, I am a big LSU baseball fan, but I'm not a Stitchhead. I do not, will never claim to be that. Do we cover LSU baseball here? Yes. We probably cover women's basketball a little bit more than baseball. But whatever the case may be, I have always called it Alec Box Stadium. But there are many people that say it's Alex Box Stadium. Yeah, Chance, I should have asked him about that. He'll be on during baseball season, so we'll get to that. The only reason I brought up the Schloss angle is that he was talking about Texas. That was a crazy story he shared, though, about Schloss telling him, hey, I don't think we're that good. Really? That is insane. It really is an absolutely insane story. When LSU goes to Omaha this year, you got to come out there too, Carter. That is true. So, true story about the Omaha thing. So, Blake called me and said, hey, Carter, should I go? Because obviously the Wahiva Aloy mistake happened. And I thought about going. My dad and I were going to New York City, though, for Fanatics Fest, which is a big, like, sports collecting experience thing. And my dad got to meet Jamar and Justin, and I got to go with him to meet Malik Nabers. It was a pretty cool experience. Okay. So Blake called and said, hey, should I actually do this? I was like, every human being that is an LSU sports fan, not even an LSU baseball fan, if you're a fan of LSU sports, you should go to Omaha at least once. It is that awesome. It really is that awesome. I cannot stress enough how much I freaking love Omaha, Nebraska during the College World Series. It really is that great. Okay. Now, if I had more money, Could I have flown from New York early to Omaha? Sure. But it was cool. I got to watch the final game. And I actually did contemplate if that would have gone to game three, leaving New York and going to game three on that Monday. Because my last day in New York was Sunday. But she can't beat New York City, dude. New York City is incredible. But Chance, if you want my thoughts on Tony V leaving Tennessee, and actually I should have asked Chris about this because I do think about it a lot. I hate it. Dude, I hate it. I do not think it's good for college baseball that, you know, obviously Jay Johnson's the best coach. He's the best coach. But Tony V is so interesting. And for smaller sports, it is always great to have true villains that are great. You know, what made men's tennis so great, or what I think honestly hurt men's tennis, it wasn't necessarily that they didn't have an American star. They really didn't have an asshole. Right, you had McEnroe, and then obviously there hadn't been one since Djokovic. People like assholes, right? They just do. Whether you like them or you don't, you watch, okay? You either need, and Tony V's not an asshole, right? If you actually just sit and talk to him, he's a nice guy. Every interview, he comes off as extremely intelligent and very affable. It's just in the heat of battle, him and his players have a brashness to them that makes you want to watch. And it's hard to replicate that. Even if the coach is a Tony V guy, it was him. Okay? All right, y'all. Big thanks to all our super chatters tonight. We had a few. Venmos that flew in. Thank you so much, Julie, once again. William as well. We also say hi to Jordan, Cody, Jordan, and Jordan. So, look, I truly do believe in this film study. It's not a deep one. It's not a long one. Pause. It's one that I think you guys would enjoy. Boom. All right, this is a public film study, but there's also a members-only film study where we share the best play call Lane Kiffin has ever had, in my opinion. Okay? So, there you go. Daniel, I appreciate you. Jonathan, I would love Shane Beamer. If everything else fell apart, I would love Shane Beamer. Because if Shane Beamer had done what he did last year at South Carolina, this year at LSU, or this year at South Carolina, you guys would be all in on Shane Beamer. So are we really going to throw him away after one bad season when he had South Carolina knocking on the door of the college football playoff? But Carter, what about the year before when he went 5-7? So what? It's South Carolina. If you were to rank all the SEC jobs from 1 to 16, where is South Carolina on that list? It's probably 13th. And the only jobs that you would conceivably consider worse, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, and Kentucky. Okay? And I could argue it's worse than those. I will go to the grave saying Shane Beamer's a good coach. Amicat says a 27-point collapse. Hell to the no. Okay, A&M's a good team. I always like that when a coach blows a big lead like that. And like, no, we don't need that. Well, we were down by 27 to them. He knows something. Okay. Go Black 45. That is an interesting name. Go Black 45. So it is such an interesting name. So what is the latest you heard about the LSU coaching search on the LSU side? That there really isn't anything compared to what we talked about last night. But there you go. All right, y'all. We shall talk to you soon. Tomorrow night at 6, we will be back. What if I told you that an LSU insider predicted Lane Kiffin to LSU weeks ago, and he was ridiculed? We'll talk to that man tomorrow. We're trying to get him on tomorrow. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. And he predicted it on here. Tonight, we are doing pot roasts. Let's go.